Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Solomon says, I know that it will be well for those who fear God and fear Him openly. He says, time and chance will work out for you if you fear God, worship God, and you worship God openly. That's what he's saying. Go to church. That's what he's saying. Worship privately, worship corporately. What you do is go to church.
The truth is, your life does have meaning. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young closes out his message, When Life is Unpredictable, and explores how God is present and working in all the events and circumstances of your life. That's coming up in just a moment on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely resource from Dr. Young called Healing Broken America. This powerful book identifies the five areas where America has lost its way and offers practical biblical remedies to these vital issues. We'll send you Dr. Young's book as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Healing Broken America when you give, and discover how you can be a catalyst for the revival, renewal, and refreshment of our nation. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, When Life is Unpredictable, Part 2.
And then he talks about the mystery of death. He keeps bringing up death, doesn't he? I wish he'd leave that behind, but there's a mystery in it. And look what he says, verse 2 of chapter 9. It is all the same. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean, for the unclean, the man who offered sacrifice and the one who does not sacrifice. As a good man is, so is the sinner, so is the swearer, so is the one who's afraid to swear. He's saying, we're all going to die and it's all going to be the same. There's a mystery about that. There's a total mystery in death. And so he's gone through all these mysteries. There's a mystery in hypocrisy. There's plenty of that. There's a mystery in death. Boy, there's a 100% recommendation, 100% chance of that. He said there's a mystery in looking for God under the sun. He said there's a mystery. He's talking about a riddle. He's talking about an enigma. And finally, comes a conclusion. And he says, look, in light of all these mysteries that are unscrutable, you can't unwrap them. You can't find any meaning for life, any significance. He said, you know what? Out of all the choices, let the good times roll. Let's party, party, party. Let's just let it all hang out. And then that's the next verses. He said, cram your life full of pleasure. Verse 7, he says, go then, eat your bread in happiness. Drink your wine with a cheerful heart. For God already approves your works. Let your clothes be white all the time. Lord, dress up as fancy as you can. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Man, make up all you can. Look as good as you can. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life. Didn't he mention this a chapter or two before? Here's a man with 1,000 women. He said, just pick out one. Spend your life with that one. Man, it's kind of weird, isn't it? Remember, Solomon talks about life and love and marriage. You better listen to him. He's had a lot of experience there. He says, pick out that gal, gentleman, and love her with all you've got for the rest of your life. And some people never do get that. I read about a guy named Glenn Watt. Glenn Watt died fairly recently at the age of 88 in L.A. No one claimed the body. No one knew him. He died alone. And finally, after a period of time, the county took him and buried him in an unmarked grave, as they do. Happens all the time in large cities. The only thing about it, this man held a Guinness Book of World Records. Yeah. They didn't know it. Nobody knew it. And his record was he'd been married 29 times. At that time, it was a record. Probably some of you may have passed that by now. I don't know. And that made Elizabeth Taylor look like a nun. And that was the world record. Now, here's somebody who died alone. He had how many ex-wives, how many children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, any number of in-laws, and nobody knew him. Nobody identified with him. He had no one around him. He died absolutely alone, was buried in an unmarked grave. How many times had he stood down there, taking the woman you hold by the right hand to require to love and cherish her and honor and sustain her in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth? And he said, I do 29 times. Solomon saying, man, be married and commit yourself to that woman, to that man. That's what marriage is all about. And he's saying, this is a part of the pleasure. If you can't make rhyme or reason out of life, just throw yourself into pleasure. Huh. Life is crammed full of mysteries. He lists some of them. Therefore, in the light of meaninglessness of life, futility of life, all the question marks about life, we can understand. He said, well, just cram your life full of pleasure. And then he presents in one verse the deepest mystery of all. Listen to this in verse 11, chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes. Again I saw under the sun. Now remember, he is reasoning and figuring out things only in a secular, humanistic, agnostic, atheistic way. You got that? You have to understand. That's how he is using all his rationalizations here. So he's accurate, by the way, if you look at things from an atheistic viewpoint. He's accurate. He really is. But then he comes to this one little verse. It's the deepest of all. He said, and I again saw under the sun, verse 11, chapter 9, that the race is not to the swift. Solomon, have you lost it? I've seen a lot of races, and races are won usually by the fastest person, right? To say the race is not to the swift, that doesn't make any sense. Well, once in a while, but usually the fastest runner wins. What are you saying, Solomon? And then look at the next thing he says. He says, the battle is not to the warriors. I've not experienced that. You want to have a little cage fight? You jump in there, one of those cage fighters. If you're not a warrior, I can tell you, you're going to lose. The battle is to those who are prepared, those who are fit, those who are warriors. That's it. He says, the battle is not won by warriors. Solomon, have you lost it? What in the world are you saying? This is a mystery. He says, neither is bread to the wise. Now that really, have you ever known anybody who was wise, who was hungry for bread? I've never known of that. Solomon, this is deep. This is crazy. And then he says, nor wealth to the discerning. Now that is crazy. If you have discernment, I mean, you had discernment, you're going to have means. You're not going to be hungry. You're going to have means. He said, wealth doesn't go to the discerning person. That is absolutely wild, ridiculous. I debate with him on that all day long. What are you talking about? And then he compounds it. He says, the discerning and favor to men of ability. Men who have ability and talent, men and women who are gifted, they have the favor of God, the favor of mankind. I mean, Solomon, this is all backwards. It's a riddle wrapped up in a mystery that put inside an enigma, this particular verse. It's the deepest, most confusing thing of all until you read the last of it. Look what he says. For time and chance overtake them all. What does he say? He's saying the fast lose the race, the wealthy are hungry, the discerning don't make it. He goes down all these things that are contrary to anything we know, any kind of rational thinking. He said the decisive thing is time and chance. Right place, right time, bang. I drove home last night from church. And on the way home, I had my radio tuned. And somebody who was talking about the stock market, which I know zip about, this guy said, you can make a lot of money on the stock market if your timing is right. Well, you should write that down. How smart is that? This guy is a wonderful stock analysis. Hello? Time and chance consume everything else, does it not? You can be the fastest and lose if the timing and the chance is there. You can be wise and not make it. You can have discerning and you can fail. It's time and chance, time and chance. What's Solomon saying? Somebody would say he's playing craps. Come on, go ahead. It's just all luck, time and chance. But he says this overtakes them all. And then I looked at this verse and I said, who is in control of chance? Who runs time? I said, oh, I wonder if Solomon, somewhere in his secular, humanistic, godless understanding of life, did he have a little light peep in once again from him who is above the sun, even God? Has he given us any insight? And I saw two little slivers of light right in this section that just clear this up so beautifully for us all. Look at verse 12 of chapter 8. Solomon says, I know that it will be well for those who fear God and fear him openly. He says, time and chance will work out for you if you fear God, worship God, and you worship God openly. That's what he's saying. Go to church. That's what he's saying. Worship privately, worship corporately. What you do is go to church. In the light of all the mysteries of life, the confusions of life, the question of life, he says, go to church. Then there's participation. Participate in church. I look out there and we sing a song like Deep in the Heart of Texas. Some of you men just belt it out. We sing Blessed Assurance and I'll tell you something, guys, you'd better learn how to sing Blessed Assurance with more resoundingness than you do Deep in the Heart of Texas. You see, in church, we have to participate. You have to move your lips at least. If you can't make a joyful noise or you don't have tuned and you're, you know, just flat in your singing like Keith. So just say words. You have to be prepared for God to meet you in church. You have to participate in prayer and worship and music and all that happens that points us to the Almighty so he can deal with us. You see, and then when you walk out of church, you have to practice. We don't just get biblical stuff in it. Boy, I learned today. No, no, no. We say, Lord, is that speaking to me and my heart and my need and my expectation? Are you doing something? You see, we have to practice it. And then that's what happens in church. We meet the living God. And in church, we come out with a purpose. During the Depression in Ireland, the government gave a job to a lot of men and had them build roads. And the men were so delighted to get a paycheck to take care of their family that they went to build those roads and they would sing and work hard. But after a week or two, they figured out that the roads they were building didn't lead anywhere. They went off into bogs. The roads they were building had no purpose. And then an author examining that saw all of a sudden the Irishmen stopped singing their Irish songs. And they stopped working very hard. And the commentator said, it's tough to build a road that goes nowhere. It's tough to live a life that goes nowhere. It is in church that we get supernatural significance as to what life is all about, and we get a renewed purpose in living. Now, the next question is, what is the result of this? And we find that also. Here is chance. Here is probability. Look at chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes. Solomon says, for I have taken all of this to my heart and explain it with righteous men and wise women, and their deeds are in the hand of God. What is he saying? All this mystery, everything that's going on in life, when we become worshipers, private and corporately, then all of our life, we end up where? In the hand of God. Isn't that tremendous? To be in the hand of God. The word hand and arm is mentioned 200 times in the Bible. And he is saying, look, when we learn how to worship privately and worship corporately, we get a purpose in life. And all of a sudden, he who is above the sun comes down and meets with us who are under the sun. And then we realize that all of our deeds and all of our life, we're in the hand of our Heavenly Father. Psalm 73, if you have your Bibles, look at it. Turn left. Psalm 73 is the same story here. The psalmist says in 73 verse 2, for as for me, my feet came close to stumbling and my steps had almost slipped. You feel like that today? You're about to stumble. Your steps are slippery. Then in verse 17, he says, until I came into the sanctuary of God. He went to church. That's what we do. We go to church. He said, I came into the sanctuary of God, and all of a sudden, this is what happened to him. And I want to give this as my personal testimony of recent days. When my heart was embittered, and I was pierced within, When I was senseless and ignorant, I became a beast before you, O Lord. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. What is the result of going to church? We know that we are placed in the hand of God. And whatever happens when we're about to slip, we're about to fall, we're discouraged, we're despondent, and we run into all these confusion aspects of life, and we're on the edge of a precipice, that his hand is there with us. Did you see what happened in Detroit, Michigan? A young man climbed on an overpass and was about to jump off and take his own life. Word went out to 18-wheelers, those big rigs, and they rushed to the spot, and I want you to look and see what happened. 13 of them gathered under that overpass, so if this young man jumped, he couldn't jump very far and take his life because they were there to catch them with their vans. They stayed there for over 3 hours until the young man walked out of harm's way and went to get help. Your feet slippery, you're almost falling, you're discouraged, you're despondent. Go to church and realize that if we are in Christ, that we are in the hand of our Heavenly Father. Just like that little boy who was walking with his dad through New York City, and His dad said, hold on to my finger as we walked through the crowd. And he held on. And finally, after a block or two, little boy said, Father, I'm tired. I can't hold on to your finger any longer. You're going to have to hold my hand. You get to that point, God will take us in his hand. That's the beautiful truth of what happens in church and the result when we come out of church. That old song says he's got the whole world in his hands. That's great. But also he's got you and me, brother, you and me, sister, in his hand, and that's even greater.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard.
First of all, find a church where you can worship and where you can serve. And worship, I think, is valid when we worship according to biblical truth, not someone who pats a Bible, who says we believe the Bible, who genuinely takes God's word and exegetes it and applies it. It's not just knowing, it's putting it into life. And therefore, find a church where you can worship, where God's word is taught, where you can sing, where you can pray, where you can celebrate the truth of God in Jesus Christ. And then find a place where you can serve, where you not just receive, but you can give of yourself and your life. Find a church like that, biblical in its orientation, unapologetically evangelical. And that means unapologetically married to and under the authority of the Scripture. And then you can worship, you can serve, and God will bring life to your life. That's how you look for a church. Worship and serve.
And Dr. Young, what would you say to someone who wants to make their life count for what matters most? How can we ensure our days aren't just vanity?
You always have to begin with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. And you have to maintain that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Christian life is all about a relationship. Relationship with God through Jesus Christ. A right relationship with ourselves. We understand who we are and what we're about. And we maintain a relationship with others. In that context, I can tell you, in those right relationship with God, with self, with others, your life, your word, your walk will have eternal significance.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful book by Dr. Young. It's called Healing Broken America. In it, Dr. Young clearly defines the five areas where America has lost its way and offers some common sense, biblically based remedies for bringing a nation back from the brink. This timely resource is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Healing Broken America when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back next week as Dr. Young reveals the surprising truth that Jesus was a great politician. We'll see you Monday on The Winning Walk. Have a great weekend.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255, 9255, 350, 350-9255.